President Obama will address the nation tonight to roll out executive action on immigration. We are going to carry that address on Wisconsin Public Radio tonight at 7. And we are planning on discussing whether or not this is a wise or justified move or not. We are having some trouble reaching our scheduled guest, a political commentator, but we still have you. What do you think? Do you support or oppose President Obama using executive action to protect undocumented workers in the United States? Some of the undocumented workers who are in the United States. The president and his aides have been working on orders that would grant legal status or defer deportation for up to 5 million migrants currently in the country illegally. We will hear President Obama's plans to reform the immigration system, which he says is broken and which he says Congress is dragging its feet on fixing. So what do you think? What do you want to hear from President Obama tonight? What do you think he should do? Do you think it's a good idea or not to use executive action and not work with Congress on this? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, November 20th. And we are happy to announce that we have located our guest. Bill Ballinger is editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. He is a former Michigan state representative and senator. He served as deputy assistant secretary of the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare under President Gerald Ford. So should President Obama use executive action now to, in his words, make the immigration system work better? Or do you think he ought to wait for Congress or work with Congress? We'll also talk this hour about how President Obama and the now stronger GOP Congress-elect will be able to work together or not on other big issues. And welcome your thoughts and questions. Well, let me welcome Bill Ballinger. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, well, before we get specifically to immigration, your reaction, the political environment right now. Republicans win big in the midterm elections, but President Obama seems to be defiant. Is that the appropriate word? what should we brace ourselves for over the next couple of years?
Well, it's kind of like Betty Davis in that old movie, fasten your seatbelt. It could be a rough night. Obviously, the Republicans do feel they are, to a greater extent, in the driver's seat than they were before the election. They not only have control of the U.S. House, they have the U.S. Senate. And where they might have expected some deference from the president, kind of along the lines of Bill Clinton back in 1994 and 95 when he lost control of the House and Senate. Remember, he said the president is still relevant. He was kind of speaking defensively, like, don't forget about me. I realize the Republicans have gotten control of the Congress, but I'm still here. In this case, President Obama seems to have taken the opposite tack and doubled down and basically, as you say, been a little bit defiant in his rhetoric since the election, basically saying, you know, I'm still perfectly capable of doing things on my own, and if I can't get cooperation from the Congress, even though I'd prefer it, I'll just do it myself. And immigration is Exhibit A, and this has been talked about for months before the election, that he would take this kind of action.
Let's talk. He did. In fact, some were thinking he should take the action before the election, but it was postponed until after the election. But he's. It's not like we weren't. Warned.
A surprise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't a surprise. The result of the election did not cause him to reconsider. Let's put it that way.
Right.
He's forging ahead with the same plan. So right now we're waiting for the bomb to drop, and we don't know what the extent of it is. I will just say that we should remember that both President Reagan and President George H.W. Bush in the 1980s took action unilaterally on immigration when the Congress was not acting. There was some difference between the situation then and the situation now, but this isn't totally unprecedented.
Yes. Yeah, so the criticism that the President Obama is being an emperor, or that he has no legal right to do this, or other criticisms, this has been done before by Republican presidents.
It has been done by a Republican president twice, by Reagan and by George H.W. Bush, when the Democrats controlled the Congress. And so it would be the reverse situation from now, with the Republicans controlling the Congress and the president being a Democrat. When Reagan and H.W. Bush did it, we've got to keep in mind there was a massive immigration reform bill passed by the Congress in 1986 at a time when the Republicans controlled the Senate but not the House, and Reagan was president before the election. And then there was some fine-tuning that Reagan did in 1987 and afterwards to immigration after he had lost control of the Senate by his party to the Democrats in the election of 86, so that both houses were Democratic. But it wasn't really confrontational. The White House and the administration were trying to get the Congress to do a few things on immigration at that time beyond the 86 reform bill, and the Congress balked, or they were slow, as they've been in the last several years under Obama. And so Reagan undertook to do these things himself, but it wasn't as sweeping. It didn't affect nearly as many illegal immigrants as look likely to be affected by what President Obama would be doing now. And then a couple of years later, George H.W. Bush, in I think it was 1989, the first year of his administration, he took some action unilaterally to do things on immigration. But after he did them, the Congress certified what he did. They basically said, okay, Mr. President, we agree with what you've done, and we're going to put it into law, which is what President Obama has said now he would prefer. He would prefer the Congress to act, and so that he doesn't have to act. On the other hand, there's always the question of act in what way? What are you doing? Is there a big difference of opinion between what the Congress would decide to do on immigration now and what the president might want to do on immigration? Of course, there would be, and there was then. But after George H.W. Bush did what he did in 1989, in fact, I think the Congress did certify or codify with a law pretty much what George H.W. Bush had done. Again, it didn't involve anywhere near the number of people that are likely to be affected by whatever the president decides to do now.
And we just have a minute before a news break, and then we'll continue. But, I mean, we don't know exactly what the immigration plan the president is going to announce tonight is, but isn't the cornerstone of it supposed to be blocking the deportation of up to 5 million undocumented workers? I mean, that's not exactly comprehensive immigration reform.
No, it isn't. I mean, supposedly it is going to be maybe up to 5 million out of the, there's supposedly 12 million undocumented immigrants in the country right now, and if this affects 5 million, of course, that's a lot of people, but it's less than half the number that are here, and it's only blocking deportation. What about everything else right. that is being discussed and debated, you know, work permits and all that stuff?
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue to talk about President Obama addressing the nation tonight to roll out his executive action on immigration. We welcome your questions. We welcome your reaction to this news. Do you think this is the right thing for the president to do or not? Use executive action. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll talk some on how Congress may react to this when we come back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest political expert about immigration and executive action and President Obama locking horns with Congress on a number of issues past after the midterm. We'll talk a little bit as we move along on the debate over the Keystone Pipeline and other issues. And you know what? We might also take a look at the 2016 presidential contenders, including Governor Scott Walker, who has been doing lots of national interviews, including this week on the O'Reilly Factor. And in fact, let's take a listen to what Governor Walker had to say this week when it came to President Obama using executive action and telling us about that tonight in an address for the nation.
This president went from once talking about the audacity of hope to the audacity of the power grab. I mean, this is in our form of government. The Congress has the legal authority to pass legislation. The president of the United States can either sign it into law or he can veto it. No one person can make the law. And yet what we hear now is basically what we heard from the congressman saying about the president is he's just tired of waiting and he's going to go ahead and do this no matter what the rules are.
So, Bill Ballinger, is Governor Walker correct there in saying that this is a power grab?
Well, again, as we discussed before the break, it depends on, you know, what your viewpoint is, where you're standing when you observe what is happening. I mean, obviously, the Republicans are trying to make it look like an outrageous power grab, and I sketched out a scenario or tried to where the president and Democrats can at least plausibly say, look, what the president is doing is not unprecedented. It is something allowed within the purview of the executive branch. It's been done before, and it's been done by Republican presidents. Now, you know, that may not wash with Scott Walker and a lot of other people. And to a great extent, you know, they're correct. I think one of the problems for the president is that he made too many bold statements or statements that caused him later embarrassment several years ago when he said, look, I do not have the power that people ascribe to me. I cannot just wave a magic wand and unilaterally take action on a certain number of issues, much as I'd like to. It requires congressional approval or action. And if the Congress is unwilling to take that action, I cannot run counter to it. That's what he said then. But that's not what he's saying now. He's all of a sudden saying, I can do anything I want, or at least I can do a lot of things that I implied to you or told you several years ago I couldn't do or didn't think I could do. It seems to me one of the things you've got to do tonight is just explain to the American people exactly what I just described. You've got to say, you may remember that I said I couldn't do what I'm doing tonight, but, you know, I am doing it, and you're probably wondering how I'm able to do it and why I'm doing it, why I've changed my mind. Are the facts different? Was I wrong before? Am I wrong now? What? And it seems to me he's got to go into that a little bit. He's got to say, look, frankly, there are a lot of things I cannot do even tonight. I mean, even what I'm doing tonight. that people don't like and say, I have no right to do, is not as much as I'd like to do and as I think the Congress should do. But I can't do those things. They're beyond my scope. But I can do this much, and I'm going to do this much. So it seems to me he's got to say that. If he just acts like, you know, this action exists in a vacuum and there's no context for it, and he's never said anything about this issue before, he never said several years ago, I cannot take this action, people are going to be scratching their heads and saying, you know, how are we going to be able to believe this guy? I mean, he's already got a credibility problem from some other things, like, you know, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor under Obamacare. So he can't, it seems to me, afford to make that mistake again.
Well, some Republicans have said that if the president goes ahead with the executive action on immigration, they may block approval of a new spending plan. The current plan expires on December 11th, so that would, I guess, threaten a government shutdown. What's your reaction to that possible response?
Well, that's another one of the great mysteries because, as you know, Senator Mitch McConnell, in his victory speech on election night, November 4th, basically said, no government shutdowns. We're not going to go through this caper again, which I think he realizes and a lot of Republicans realize backfired on the party. The public, by and large, does not like that and does not like the Republicans using those tactics. On the other hand, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, has refused to take the option you just described off the table. So we've got a difference of opinion between the two chambers and their leadership, both Republicans, as to how they proceed. You know, I think the Republicans obviously are going to react in some way. I think, first of all, we got to wait to see what the president is going to do. You know, there's all this speculation about whether he should be doing what he's doing. But there has been not that much speculation, it seems to me, about what he's likely to do. It just seems to me that he's got to be very careful in the way he rolls this out. It seems to me he's going to have to call for some actions that, you know, many Democrats, frankly, will not like, but which he realizes might appease a lot of anti-immigrant activists out there in the country and make them feel a little bit mollified about what he's doing. Maybe he won't. Maybe it'll just be totally, let's stop deportations. I don't know. But it seems to me we've got to wait to see what is in what he proposes and what is the reaction of the country to that. Is it going to be outrageously negative reaction from most of the country and the news media? Is it going to be balanced, mixed? Is it going to be people raising their eyebrows and saying, whoa, you know, this isn't really so bad. This is pretty reasonable. We kind of like this. We got to wait and see what it is. And then based on that, you know, I think the Republicans can react. There may be lawsuits filed against whatever the president does by the Republicans challenging his judicial and legal and constitutional authority to do it.
Yeah, that's what Governor Walker said to the New York Times, that he would go to the courts over this.
Right.
This is illegal.
Right, exactly. I'm sure something like that is going to happen by somebody somewhere, and you know, we'll see how that plays out. The whole idea of a budget, you know, not being passed and not raising the debt ceiling and shutting the government down, that is just kind of the nuclear option that the Republicans, I suppose, could use, and which has caused so much consternation before, but we should not consider that that's the only likely outcome of the reaction to the president's speech. I don't think it is.
We have lots of commenters waiting. David in Milwaukee, what do you think?
I believe that Obama should not do a government, I mean, should not let the immigrants stay for the fact that us citizens here in America, we already hurting, and if he send all the immigrants back, that'll provide at least 3 million jobs, you know, taking into consideration the children that are not allowed to work. As far as the government shutdown go, I don't think that's beneficial because that only hurts the American people. And the American people is hurting already through everything that's going on. I don't believe that our government in general care about the American people because they spend so much money helping other countries and not helping what's going on in their backyard. Law is law. And if it's illegal for them to be here, then they just need to go back and they just need to send everybody back and let's focus on America for a while. It's going to take at least about 30 years just to get it somewhat right. And so I do not agree. I like Obama, but I don't agree with his action. I do believe he has the power to do it, but I don't agree with it, and I don't agree with the Republicans talking about a government shutdown at the same time.
Yeah. A reaction to that, Bill?
Yeah, well, I think he, your caller brings up one thing we haven't discussed, and that is, you know, are we going to be sure we're going to be able to find all the people who are illegal immigrants here right now? I mean, there's an estimated 12 million, but where are they? I mean, it's not like we can identify each and every one of them. And I think one of the things that any action on deportation might take, whether it's done by the Congress or by the president, is does the action, you know, giving amnesty, let's use that word, to illegal immigrants, does it draw some of these illegal immigrants out of the shadows, so to speak? I mean, we know they're supposedly here or are here, but we don't know who they are, where they live, they're hiding. There's no way we can find them. But if all of a sudden they know, hey, look, I'm not going to be deported, I might as well fess up, I'm here, here's my name, here's my address, and I'll start going through the steps it takes to, you know, send my kids to school, get a driver's license, get a job. You know, it gives them an identity. That is one thing that the president's action or congressional action, if they decide to take it, might do. It would actually identify these people. So it's one thing to just easily say, I don't think 3 million people ought to be here and let's send them home. What if we can't find them? You know, what? Yeah. What if we can only find 2 million out of the 3 million and the other million stay because we don't know where they are or who they are?
Well, Sheree on Facebook says, President Obama has requested that the current immigration bill in the House debate, I think she wrote this wrong. She wants that President Obama wants the House to pass what the Senate passed when it comes to comprehensive immigration reform. When you have the Speaker of the House purposely preventing a vote from coming to the floor because it will pass, the Speaker is purposely circumventing that legislation. The Senate and the House have had 6 years to try to come to a resolution. When there is no compromise, you take what you can get. Republicans will try to use this any way they can to scare the base and drive up donations. Well, I'd like you to react to that, Bill, but I'd also like to talk a little bit about, you know, the differences in Congress over comprehensive immigration reform. Are we really that far from some sort of compromise?
Yeah, I actually have some feeling that there still could be a compromise reached in the House. I think Republicans honestly want to put this issue behind them. The idea that either party wants to cynically use immigration as an issue in a never-ending political campaign. We just had an election, and now everybody's talking about 2016. We've gone through something like four elections now where immigration has been at least one of the important issues. I think it's time, and I think the parties feel it's time, to put this issue behind us. Well, I don't think you put the issue behind you by just hoping that it'll go away and disappear. It's not going to disappear. You have 12 million illegal people here. And, you know, we have periodic waves of more who want to come in, like we had this past spring with the children. And so I think, you know, there are a lot of Republicans, and they are the key ones in the House that have to decide on this, do want to put it behind them. The question is, how do they put it behind them? The Senate bill that passed last year, it was very, very heavy on enforcement, which is something that Republicans have demanded all the way along. Enforcement at the border dramatically beefs up enforcement. So Republicans ought to feel very good about that. The big problem for the Republicans on the other end is how much of what might be considered amnesty is granted and under what circumstances. And, you know, that is what's got to be worked out in the House. Your tweeter or your blogger that you were just reading from, she's right in saying that what the Republican majority has done in the House is invoke the so-called Hastert rule, which is named after a former Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, which basically says the majority party has got to have a majority of its own caucus in support of a particular issue or policy before it will allow that policy to be brought to a vote. It doesn't matter whether a coalition of Democrats and part of the majority caucus could be cobbled together to form a majority to pass immigration reform or pass the Senate bill. If a majority of the Republican caucus opposes the Senate bill, it's not going to happen. That's the Hastert rule. Now, a lot of people say the Hastert rule is a bunch of malarkey and baloney, and it shouldn't exist, and it's a bad way to run government. But that's what we're talking about right now.
Yeah. I spoke with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin on the show the other day. You know, he is for a better guest worker program and some other things. But first and foremost, he says we need to secure the border.
Right.
Do you see that happening anytime soon?
Well, I mean, that's what the Senate bill is supposedly all about, that it takes major steps to secure the border. And that's what the Republicans have demanded all the way along, and evidently what Senator Johnson demands. And that is perfectly understandable. The question is, can you ever absolutely guarantee the sealing and securing a border that is that long in the southwestern United States, all the way from California down to the Gulf of Mexico? I mean, we're talking, you know, over 1,000 miles easily. And, you know, if you can't do that, and if the Republicans basically realize that no matter how much money you pour into it and what you do, you're never going to be able to completely secure it, they're basically creating a straw man here. They're saying we've got to secure the border before we consider everything else, knowing that we'll never be able to totally secure the border. Therefore, the Republicans never have to grant anything else. They don't have to grant amnesty. They don't have to grant a path to citizenship or anything else for the people who are here. And, you know, there are some people, I think, in the Congress, unfortunately, who feel that way. I don't believe necessarily Senator Johnson is one of them, but I think that's some of the people, Republicans in the Congress, believe.
Well, we have just a minute or so before our next news break, and then we will move on to some other issues that President Obama and Congress are differing on. What are you going to be watching for tonight? You're saying let's hear what he has to say and the reaction to it before we get too excited.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm eager to really see what he says. What is in the substance of what he says? And also, will he say anything like, you know, I'd like to go beyond this, but I can't, which would be somewhat humble sounding, contrary to what his enemies believe about him, and say, you know, it's going to take action by the Congress to do more than I am offering tonight, and I call on them again to take this action. I mean, that'll be interesting if he says something like that. And again, I think the context in which he makes his remarks. Does he hearken back to what he said several years ago, that he doesn't have the power to take the action that he's taking tonight? Is he going to talk about that? And then I think just the real guts of what he says tonight. What is he going to propose? Is it going to be outrageous?
I got to check news, and then we will continue talking with Bill Ballinger. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Curdine. We are talking about President Obama locking horns with Congress on a number of different issues since the midterm elections. One, the executive action that he will be announcing tonight on immigration. His address to the nation is at 7 o'clock tonight. We will carry that on Wisconsin Public Radio. But there is also Keystone, the Keystone XL pipeline. He sort of dodged that one when the Senate decided not to approve the Keystone XL pipeline, but that's bound to come up with the new GOP Congress. We are talking with Bill Ballinger, editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. He is a former Michigan State Representative and Senator. He served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare under President Gerald Ford. And your thoughts on the Keystone XL pipeline issue, Bill? The president just about threatened to veto that should it arrive on his desk, but the Senate didn't pass it along.
Yeah, I got to admit, I was a little surprised when they didn't come up with the 60 votes to override a filibuster by Democrats. I thought if Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, he's still the majority leader now, had agreed to finally bring this up for a vote in behalf of Mary Landrieu, who, as you know, is fighting for her political life in Louisiana in a runoff election next month, that, you know, it was almost certainly likely to get the 60 votes to withstand the filibuster attempt and that it would pass because all the Republicans were for it. So I was amazed when he fell one vote short. It only got 59 votes. I mean, in essence, Mary Landrieu's fellow Democrats threw her under the bus. I mean, she is in terrible shape going into this runoff to begin with, and this almost looks like the coup de grace.
Yeah, so the vote to help her is because she, Louisiana would benefit from this, and Louisianans
want
this.
She's a big supporter of the XL pipeline. She has been all along. She claims she's been trying to get her colleague, Harry Reid, to bring this to a vote in the Senate for years, and he won't do it. And finally he does it and doesn't get the votes, you know. There were about, you know, I can't remember exactly, it's like 14 Democratic senators, I think, who did agree to break the filibuster, and combined with the 45 Republicans now in the Senate, that got to 59, but you need 60 votes. So this was a big deal for her, and she didn't get it, and I think this really hurts her, but, of course, the Republicans say, don't worry, XL pipeline supporters, we're coming. You know, the cavalry is coming. We're going to be in the majority beginning in January, and we're going to bring this up again, and we're going to pass it. We don't need the Democrats, or we have enough Democrats to break a filibuster over 60, because we're getting all these pro-pipeline Republicans to replace departing Democrats. And we'll pass it, and the House will pass it again, as they have in the past, and it'll go to the president, and he'll have to make a decision.
Yeah, well, let's go to Dave in Menominee, Michigan first. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning. You know, this pipeline, the Republicans try to make it look like it's our president that is holding this thing up, but there's 115 landowners in Nebraska that are holding this up, and tribes. I'm against a multinational corporation coming into our country, making deals with Republican lawmakers and a couple of Democrats to take land from Americans through eminent domain, to put a pipeline halfway through our, cutting our country in half, to ship to refine it down in Texas, and to ship it out on the world market.
Yeah. So talk some about that, Bill. I mean that there was the tribe that said pass this, and we would consider it an act of war. Reports coming out saying only 35 permanent jobs would be created by the XL Keystone XL pipeline. The refined product would go somewhere else, not help out the United States. Why is this such an attractive deal?
Well, the president has even made some remarks that make it sound like he doesn't necessarily think it's such an attractive deal. Your caller has indicated several more reasons where maybe it's not a good idea. The business about eminent domain and the Indian tribes and the farmers and the landowners who would have their land taken, I'm frankly not an expert on that. I think that's tied up in the courts right now in Nebraska. So I think there is some doubt about exactly what's going on there, what are the circumstances. When the president talks about this and when the Republicans talk about it, they don't talk about these landowners or the Indian tribes. That's not to say that their concerns shouldn't be taken seriously. They should be. But that doesn't seem to me as big a factor as another thing that your caller mentioned, and that is how many jobs are really going to be created by this, and how important is this in terms of the world's economy and the price of oil? Another thing that's been said by detractors is that if you think this is going to bring down the price of gasoline at the pump, it is not. Well, maybe it wouldn't be right away, but will it be in the future? I mean, there are a lot of unanswered questions on all this.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's irritating is that it just seems to be taking so long to resolve. It's been hanging around as an issue for a couple of years now, and some of the reasons given by the administration to postpone a decision seem so transparently political that they're very suspicious. So I'm puzzled as to why there can't be some resolution on this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so if Congress, the stronger GOP Congress next year passes this, sends it to him, the president's going to have to make that decision to sign or veto. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, you cannot tell from what he said. He's been very equivocal. Just as many comments, as I indicated, that have indicated he's not sold on the fact that this is the economic bonanza that its proponents are contending it is. But he hasn't absolutely said that he thinks it's a bad idea and that he would veto it. I think President Obama has only vetoed two minor bills during his entire tenure. He's not a president prone to veto. So I think he likes to use that tool sparingly, and what he'll actually do remains to be seen.
Yeah. Well, boy, we are running short on time. Another issue that is in the news with President Obama in Congress is that this Monday, November 24th, is a deadline regarding Iran's nuclear program. The U.S. would reduce sanctions on Iran if Iran agrees to forego the means to make nuclear weapons. Any thoughts on the likelihood of a deal being reached that Obama, the Republicans, and Democrats will all find suitable?
Well, the battle lines are drawn there, too, I guess. The Republicans seem to think, kind of it's like what Mitch McConnell said about President Obama's recent announcement on climate change with the Chinese, that it's a one-sided deal. In this case, we're talking about Iran and that we can't trust Iran to do certain things. And in the meantime, we give up imposing the sanctions or some of the sanctions, or we alleviate them that we've felt is really the only thing that's forcing them to change their behavior. And we're not getting much out of this deal, and they are, and you can't trust them. So, I think this is going to bumble along for
a time longer. And again, I think this is another one of these issues. You kind of think you could snap your fingers and get a decision from one side or the other or both, that there could be a compromise between the president or the Congress or the Republicans or Democrats, and it never seems to happen.
Yeah. So President Obama doesn't have to worry about re-election in 2016. Do you think that that makes it more or less likely that he may take a my way or the highway approach during his last 2 years?
Well, he's taken a my way or highway approach on immigration, so he may take it on some of these other matters as well. On the other hand, he worries a little bit, like most presidents, about what his legacy is likely to be. He doesn't want to do some things dramatically in the last 2 years because he can't get cooperation from the Congress and have that come back to haunt him in terms of how historians and political commentators write about what he achieved or didn't achieve during his 8 years as president.
In our final minute, any thoughts on whether Governor Scott Walker is going to be in the presidential mix?
Well, out of all the governors, with the exception maybe of Chris Christie, he seems to me to be the one who's most forcefully exploring the option of becoming a candidate. But it's a big step to take. And, you know, when he decides to make the decision and how he announces it and going forward, whether he proves to be a viable candidate, I think the world is watching. So all eyes are on Wisconsin right now.
Thank you very much for talking with Wisconsin.
Hey, my pleasure.
Bill Ballinger, editor and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics Newsletter, former Michigan State Representative and Senator, and served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare under President Gerald Ford. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. We are going to be talking with the author of Kids Gone Wild in our next hour. She's going to say that too many of us are overly concerned about our kids having sex. She says it's not that widespread. And then tomorrow at this time, we are going to talk with a guest from the University of Wisconsin about research on the University of Wisconsin campuses and the funding for those research projects. We'll talk about the funding of research and the economic benefits and social benefits of research coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.